Advices Radio Network.
Advices Radio is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The opinions of the host are not meant to be taken as medical advice. If you have a health concern, see a doctor immediately.
When it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
What's up, guys, and welcome to Advices Radio. I'm your host, Scott McNally. Today we have kind of a unique, different type of podcast. I'm actually going to consider this to be an experiment. It's called an experiment in low carbs. Right now I'm about a week out from my show. You guys will be hearing this even a little bit sooner in the peak week leading up to my contest. While I'm getting ready for the show, it's been cool to connect with a lot of the listeners that are also getting ready for their own shows. And I feel like we have this cool little community of people that are all striving to be their best. And just knowing you're out there gives me energy and hope. And I've heard the same thing from a lot of you. So I'm glad to be a voice out here on the radio on low carbs to speak for the many of you out there. I don't want to use the word suffering, but I will. The many of you out there that are suffering on low carbs and low fats, low everything right now, low calories. So yeah, like I said, this is an experiment. I figured that this would be fun. This would be interesting. We've talked to Bill Toko of War Room Nutrition a couple times now, and Bill has brought a lot of really great information. He takes bodybuilding very seriously. And I really respect him a lot. I really look up to Bill a lot. And he's a very hard worker just in anything he does, whether it had been as a professional skateboarder, as a coach, as a personal trainer, and definitely in the gym as a weightlifter and as a bodybuilder getting ready for the stage. So I definitely feel like I'm in very good company hanging with Bill. I'm going to bring him on the show today, and he and I are just going to have a rap session while in a calorie deprivation. So bear with us. Like I said, I'm calling this an experiment because I really don't know how it's going to go. Could go good. Could take a turn for the worse. But hey, I figure that we're about 50 episodes in, and I've been putting 100% into all these shows. If one of them flops, well, I guess that's going to happen. So I hope that isn't the case here. I hope that there is some good stuff, and I hope that you guys enjoy it. I hope we aren't too dull. Wish me luck at the contest. I'm going to be doing the Titan Classic. Bill is going to be doing the Central States here in Michigan. He's looking his best I've ever seen him. He really does look pretty awesome right now, and I'm really pumped for him. Shout out to Tommy Styles, who we also briefly speak to for a few minutes on the show, who is also doing Central States. This is going to be fun, guys. At least I hope so. So here we go. Without further ado, let's get it rolling. Welcome back to Advices Radio. I'm your host, Scott McNally, and with me back on the microphone again is Bill Toko. Bill Toko of War Room Nutrition. This is the third installment of our talks with Bill. The last two have been really informative. We talked with Bill the first time after his last contest season, and he was just going into his off season. He was, you know, deciding what he wanted to do, what he was going to work on. If you guys haven't heard that episode, you'll have to go all the way back to, I think it might have been episode 2 or 3, maybe. Then after that, a few months ago, we talked to Bill just at the end of his off season. We talked a lot about leg training that day, and you know, we discussed a lot about what it took to kind of, you know, build his muscle up and you know, make the improvements that he wanted to see during the off season. Then from there, Bill shifted gears to contest prep for Central States, and we are now about 1 week out from the show. So I'm happy to be here with you, Bill. How you been, man? How you feeling? And how's the prep coming along? How are you looking? And are you ready for all this to happen?
How you doing, Scott? Good to be back. I'm definitely excited. I'm glad to be back on the show. It's always fun. Definitely a different circumstance being this deep into prep. It's
oh, yeah.
Definitely different from the last time we talked.
When you were like carved up and full of vitality, right? It's a
yeah, definitely probably making life a little bit easier. But, you know, I knew this day would come, and yeah. Here we are. And, yeah, I'm definitely ready, and I'm looking forward to it for sure. And just this is actually the home stretch here. Usually when I'm 2 weeks, just under 2 weeks out, let's say, for instance, 2 weeks out, being Saturday, 2 weeks before the show, I usually, the following day would be a Sunday, so I have my cheat meal or refeed on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Per coach's orders. And then I always look at that final stretch starting that Monday. And so now we're on Wednesday, so I've gone through Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and up until this Saturday, which will be a week out, that's in my mind mentally, I always think, okay, this is where you get that last bit of tightness, and anything you need to burn off, you have to do it now. Because the last week, even though you are burning fat, it's just you're basically just trying to fill out. So,
yeah,
I would mentally put that in my conscience, and it seems to work out every time.
Yeah,
and,
for the people that
be working again,
for the people that you know aren't competitors and they're listening to this now, you know, a lot of what Bill is saying here is that in that last week, you know, we're putting together the final touches to, you know, quote unquote, peak our physiques, you know, be as full as we can, be as dry and as hard as we can, you know, get that final polished look. And at that point, really, you know, all the fat loss that we've been working toward is, you know, it is what it is. And as you said, Bill, you know, we might lose a little bit more, but I really wouldn't count on too much. So yeah, man, this is really the last hurrah. And this is the last week where you'll be doing like standard, traditional, you know, regular training that you've been doing all along too, right?
Actually today we trained back. Friday will be my last leg day, and that will be, you know, 60 probably 65 70%. Shelby, usually when we get to that point, he'll just say, okay, stop here. He'll knock off some volume for me, and then, you know, he'll do some additional sets.
Okay.
And I won't go to failure. And so this leg workout will be, you know, relatively easy, nothing crazy. You know, it's my last one before the show.
And
so that's kind of how that's set up. And then I will train Saturday on my own, which I just do a little biceps, forearms, and abs. It's a very short workout. And then Monday we will train chest and shoulders, and Wednesday back again. But it, like I said, that volume will be decreased a lot. And that'll be my last workout is next Wednesday after that.
Okay. And you know, you mentioned Shelby. For the guys out there and gals out there that haven't listened to the other episodes and aren't familiar with who you're working with, tell me about your coach and your training partner.
Oh, one of my best friends in the universe. So it's hard for me to say, oh, that's my coach and everything. Yeah. Because, you know, we're such good friends and everything. So, but yeah, he does all my stuff for my prep, and it's amazing. I mean, we've been through a lot, and, I've learned a ton, and it's been really fun. And, you know, I think he's definitely, you know, easily, I mean, without question, one of the best in this business.
I agree. Totally. We're talking about Shelby Starnes, IFBB Pro, and you guys can reach out to him at, I think it's just shelbystarnes.com. He's he is a great coach, man, you know, out of this world. And I'm grateful, too, because he was willing to work with me this last couple of weeks. So we're both working with Shelby now. He's helping me to peak for my show, which is the same day as your show. So, you know, we thought this would be fun, guys. Bill and I are on very low carbs, and this is a great day. You know, in the middle of this last week of, you know, hard work to put together a podcast, we thought this would be we'd be high on energy and full of enthusiasm. And we'd share that with you guys. It's just, this is like, as Kai Green would say, we're deep in the trenches of the experience right now, right?
Yeah, we planned this to do this really close to the show. So we were basically, you know, very low energy, but kind of you doing almost a community theater was like, what, as I call it, just, you know, putting your best foot forward and acting, you know, basically, even though you might not feel the greatest. So,
you know, tell me a little bit more about what that experience is like for the guys and gals that haven't gotten ready for a show before. You do coaching yourself and you do personal training. So you spend time on your feet in the gym working with people, and your job is to motivate people. What's that like, trying to motivate people when you're feeling, you know, pretty low, pretty tired?
Yeah. Like I said, you know, as soon as I get into the gym, I just kind of, it's kind of like a switch goes off and I have to be professional. So yeah, no matter how I'm feeling, I don't let that affect what I'm doing with my clients. I mean, they're paying me. So, I definitely have to keep that in mind all the time, because when you're very low energy and you don't feel like being there, you have to put that on the back burner and really compartmentalize that stuff. And I have a good ability to do that.
Yeah.
And I just owe that to the people. I can't go 90% or 80% for them. I have to be 100% there for them. So I get through it, you know, and I wouldn't want any other way. I wouldn't cancel on these people and put it off. I know some people don't even train anybody at the end of their prep, and I won't do that. So, you know,
I mean, I guess I could see like taking like a slightly lighter caseload or workload, you know, I could see that in certain circumstances, but my idea of like, you know, quote unquote, being hardcore is to be able to maintain all the stuff you need to do, you know, through your life. I'm not just going to like shut everything else down just because I'm getting ready for a show. Right.
Oh yeah. And I think over the last 3 years, I've gotten better at that.
Okay.
Especially with, just my home life and stuff. I just try to do everything, you know, as normal as possible. And if I have to go somewhere, I can, you know, with my wife or whatever, just get through it and plan ahead and try to make it as normal as possible. And it seems to work out a lot better that way in the long run.
Yeah. I noticed I've been really tired lately that, I can give 100%, but 100% today is different than 100% was 6 weeks ago, put it that way.
Oh, I totally know where you're coming from, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, I can still do everything I need to do, but yeah, it's just, it's interesting when you realize that you've lost, like you've lost the physical ability to smile because of the amount of muscles that it takes to do that. You just like don't have the energy, you know, at certain points.
Yeah. Actually, a good analogy that Shelby was talking about with me one time that I can't remember, one of his buddies, they were talking about it before. It was this kind of like, the analogy was, you know, when you're this deep into prep and you're feeling like that, you could be laying down on the sidewalk getting beaten with a stick and you would just sit there and take it.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's kind of how it is, to be honest.
How's your sleep? I know that that's something that people find to be affected toward the end, a lot of times due to hunger.
My sleep here at the end, the last, say, 3 weeks in, has not been great. Probably, I'd say like maybe 4 hours or so, 4.5 hours, not very much.
Yeah.
Basically, what happens is I'll go to bed at the same time. I can fall asleep and all that, but I just would get up earlier, progressively earlier and earlier, a few minutes each day. And as soon as I would open my eyes, I was very wide awake. So I tried to lay there, and that just wasn't advantageous for me because I would just I couldn't go back to sleep, so now I'm just up and that's it. And I, you know, I have to be at the gym early for clients anyways, plus I have to do cardio, and now I'm updating a lot and, you know, making my meals and stuff. So I really don't have the luxury of sleeping in, but I really couldn't anyways right now, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah. I was like that for a while, for some time, and I don't know what happened, but now I can sleep nonstop. Like I could sit here and fall asleep right now if I let myself, honestly.
Yeah, that's great.
It's crazy. It's
that's great though that you can do that.
Yeah, it's I've been getting more and more sleep. So I went from getting like 3.5-4 hours somewhere in there up to like getting a few nights, man. I've even gotten like 9 hours, which blows my mind. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, this close to the show, it's typical for me. So I mean, I come to expect it. So I was completely prepared for it, but. One thing that is very strange is when you do, you know, a few preps in a row, let's say 3 or 4 years or whatever it is, the differences, it seems so strange how each one is unique and different, than the other.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and obviously, you know, too, when you're a coach and you're working with people and you've, you know, helped the same client over a couple shows, it's just so strange how, you know, 1 year you'd have to do more to get to that level of conditioning, and 1 year you might have to do less, you know. And I've seen that pattern now with me, where this year I actually had to do less of everything to get in good condition, but I feel way worse than I ever have, which I think is a good sign.
Huh.
Because usually, you know, for me, the better condition, the more horrible I feel. And so if that stays true, then I'm right where I need to be this year, for sure. There's no doubt, because I feel not good, to put it mildly.
Well, I haven't seen any pictures in a few days, but the last set of pictures I saw of you, you were looking very gnarly, and everything was in. You looked ready at that point. I mean, realistically, you could have probably have gotten on stage at that point. So I'm sure you're looking,
you know,
even better now.
You bring that up, Scott. Not to interrupt you, sorry,
yeah.
But I had some pictures ready for you, because I had an interesting story that actually culminated from last night. I had an experience last night that I've never experienced before.
Yeah.
In bodybuilding or prep. It was around 9:30. It was about between 9 and 10:30 last night. I started to feel a little bit odd, I guess, not in a bad way, in a good way. I would get up and, I remember going to the bathroom, and I just kind of looked at myself in the mirror and I said, wow, there's something's going on here positively. I started to tighten up a lot.
Okay.
So over that hour and a half, I just kept getting tighter and tighter. And I said, you know, I thought to myself, for the hell of it, which I never do this, weigh myself at night. I weighed myself and I was about 2 pounds less than I was when I woke up in the morning.
Huh. Interesting.
So I said, okay, something positive is definitely going on here, because that doesn't happen. You're obviously always heavier at night.
Right, right.
So this morning I didn't have an official update, but I wanted to, you know, check my weight after I went to the bathroom. I took a pee and all that. And lo and behold, I was down from the previous day almost 4 pounds.
I'll be damned. Do you have any idea what the reasoning was for this?
Well, I have a couple ideas that I'll go into next, but I took some just test shots of that and I just sent them to you.
Yeah, I'm looking at them right now. Everything, like lower back's looking real tight.
Yeah, like I tightened up a bunch in one day. Now, what I'm thinking maybe, and I had brought this up to Shelby, and then he said, yeah, maybe in the, or it could be 10 other different things, which is actually a good answer as well. But I think that, you know, last week, Thursday, I dropped my creatine, and then the following day I dropped my Yohimbe, and I think maybe all that stuff maybe caught up with me, because usually it takes me about 5 to 7 days when I drop creatine to get rid of some water from that.
Okay.
And as far as Yohimbe, a lot of people say, you know, you can drop it a week out, but to be safe, I kind of go with the Palumbo method and do it 2 weeks out.
Yeah.
I don't know if a lot of people knew this, but Yohimbe is like an anti-diuretic.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, like when you get to Vasoburn, Matt Porter's product, it'll tell you to stop it, you know, like a week out, you know, the topical version of that, because it acts as an anti-diuretic. But I like to be on the safe side, I'm a little bit more conservative, so I pulled that out. So maybe those two things combined and it just all kind of caught up with me. I'm not sure, but usually when I do drop the creatine, within 5 to 7 days, I drop a good 2-3 pounds.
Yeah, I see that in myself, and I've seen it in a lot of other people too. I haven't seen so much the Yohimbe thing, but I've heard a lot of people talk about it, and I've been looking for it since. You know, looking at your pictures right now, Bill, you know, I'm seeing your back has come up, and I feel like your legs have come up. You know, these are all three rear shots. We had talked a lot about the developments that you wanted to create, probably going on a year ago now, when we first met on the podcast. Do you feel like are you happy with the results you're seeing here now that you've taken it all down and we're looking at the hard work you've put in for over, you know, a year now?
Oh yeah, I'm definitely happy. I'm pleasantly actually surprised because until, you know, maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, it was hard to tell what was going on. And then once I got lean enough, I thought, well, as I get leaner, maybe these body parts will look smaller. But, you know, lo and behold, every week they started to look bigger.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy with the progress from the off season. There's no doubt about it. And those areas, back and legs. And I have went back last year to look at some pictures the same amount of weeks out and everything. And the difference is pretty drastic as far as thickness everywhere. Hmm. Which I was really surprised because last year I put on like 7 or 8 pounds of stage weight.
Yeah.
And this year the weight's not drastically different.
Okay.
Going into this 2 weeks, but I mean, when you look at the pictures, it's a drastic difference.
Yeah, no, I totally see it, man. How's your strength been this year? I know that, you know, as we progress and as the calories get reduced, our strength oftentimes goes down in the gym, and it's a struggle to try to maintain that strength. I've always learned that, you know, we want to try to stay as strong as we can. As Scott Stevenson had recently said on an episode of Muscle Minds, you know, dance with the one who brung you. And if you grow muscle through lifting heavy weights, then you want to continue lifting as heavy as you can through the prep. Where are you at with strength now, Bill?
Okay, well, let me back up just a little bit to reiterate what you were talking about as far as great Dr. Scott Stevenson. I totally 100% agree with that. That, you know, my motto for that is going, you know, doing a prep, and as you get weaker, let your strength, you know, basically your strength level and your energy and everything like that dictate what you're going to basically lift. Don't say, okay, well, I'm going to do more reps now and I'm going to do lighter weight. Let your strength level dictate what you're actually going to lift.
Hmm.
So, you know, don't go in there thinking, okay, well, I'm going to reduce everything. You know, wait until your strength level decreases on its own, and your body will let you know, okay, you know, let's say, for instance, you did an incline press with 200 pounds, and all of a sudden now you're doing it, you know, this, you're putting the same intensity and effort into it, same style, same form, but all of a sudden you're doing, instead of 200 for 10 reps, you're doing 180 for 7. That's dictating your strength level. It's not you mentally saying, I'm going to bring this new setup to the table and go, you know, higher reps and all that. Let your strength dictate that. So I think, yes, you should lift as heavy as possible with the best possible form and keep doing that, and your weight will come down a little bit on its own. But don't change what you're doing, and don't go in there saying, okay, well, I'm probably going to be weaker, so let's change everything I've been doing and go lighter, you know, weights and higher reps and all that. I think that's nonsense. I think you definitely have to keep doing what got you there, and your body will naturally not be able to lift as much. I stayed pretty strong up until about 2 weeks ago, and then I noticed, you know, as we went through each body part, I was definitely lifting a little bit less, and I was struggling, but, you know, it wasn't a huge amount, probably 10% or so.
Okay. Yeah, that's not bad at all, man. 10% of what you've been doing, you know, that's really, that's pretty remarkable. Nutrition-wise, are you still eating carbohydrates? And if so, what parts of the day do you get them?
Okay, so for me, at least, I mean, what I respond to, and what me and Shelby had, or what Shelby had came up with me, you know, a couple years ago, 3 years ago, when we first started, I mean, you know, you try different things and see what works best. And for me, towards the end, let's say the last 6 weeks, there starts to be a couple no carb days mixed in there. Okay. So, you might be on some kind of rotation where you're doing 3 days, you know, 3 days you get carbs, and then on that fourth day you get no carbs, and then it might change to maybe like an every other day no carb setup until you get down to the end, which usually is about the last 5 weeks for me, where every day is a no-carb day, okay. And then you get a refeed on, say, Sunday night in place of your last meal. But I'm someone that needs fats in my diet, so I have relatively high fat with zero carbs. I respond, you know, best to that. Now, I have clients that, you know, if you take all their carbs away and you have them on high fat, they won't lose weight. Mm. So everybody's different. I mean, it would be great and easy as a coach if I could just diet everybody the way my diet works for me, but
right.
It just doesn't work that way. But for me, I respond to high fat.
What kind of numbers are we talking?
Zero carbs, pretty much. What's that?
What kind of numbers are we talking for your fat intake?
About 120 grams.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a decent amount.
About between 330 and 350.
Okay.
Yeah, and the carbs are, you know, zero, pretty much. There's no added carbs at all.
But I feel like you get used to it. You know what I mean? You get used to the low carbs. I think some people who maybe haven't competed before, they just get scared of an idea, and they think like, oh, I can't handle no carbs. You know, because they've gone two meals without eating carbs, and then they feel their insulin levels or their blood sugar levels drop. You know, and it becomes uncomfortable. But if you focus on this and you continue using a diet like that, if that's what your body needed, of course.
Right.
You get adjusted to it. I personally, you know, I'm doing something similar. I am getting carbs one time a day, but I feel like I'm not. I feel like I could continue doing what I'm doing for a very long time. This doesn't feel like it's burdening my system.
Mm-hmm.
How about yourself? Well, do you feel like, could you continue riding where you're at right now? Or do you feel like this needs to come to an end at some point?
Well, this exact style needs, if I wanted to do this forever, which I can get into that too, because there's definitely some things I've learned over the last three preps, which are definitely integral to the way I feel, and I'll get into that in a second. But I with my diet set up, basically with the higher fats and stuff, I would probably have to even increase my fats more. Still doing zero carbs, but increase my fats even more, and then probably have a refeed somewhere in the middle of the week and then a smaller one at the end of the week, and I think that I would feel a lot better. But to keep this exact style, it would be tough, because the longer I do it, the more I get depleted and the worse I feel. But on a true, like, you know, ketogenic diet, where you're talking about, you know, 80% of your calories coming from fats, you know, and 5% or lower from carbs, and then, you know, the rest protein, you know, that might be something I need to look at, because like I was telling, I think I've talked to you about it, and I know I've talked to VJ about it from the famous podcast Bodybuilding Nerds.
I've heard of that.
I tell him every time I get to that 6 week mark and Shelby starts to give me a few no carb days mixed in, and then it gets deeper and I start to do more no carb days, all the inflammation and all the pain in my body in these certain areas completely goes away.
You have mentioned that to me before.
Completely. And that's interesting. Now it's happened every single time, so it's not a coincidence. So that's something I'm looking at for the future, because I just feel too good.
Yeah.
I don't have any pain. I mean, my back the whole off season, you know how my back was.
And oh, yeah.
You know, I would get through it because I knew that, you know, to put on that size, I needed that insulin response from the carbs, and I dealt with it because it was something I had to do to improve. But, you know, you get to a point where, like, hey, this feels great. Just sitting around at home, I would be in pain without doing anything. Now I'm not. So I need to really think about, hey, maybe I can incorporate this somehow in the future, because I just feel too damn good.
That's interesting. And as far as off season goes, I mean, it's not as if you got overly heavy. You stayed fairly lean this year.
Yeah, I tried the Scott Stevenson approach of being about 20, maybe just a little over that pounds of stage weight. So nothing crazy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that helped your lower back more? I know we've discussed privately. I don't remember if we discussed on the show or not. You know, what you had just mentioned, that, you know, with that, the more weight on your body and that more water in your system, that you would get excruciating back pain and pumps and just discomfort while we were trying to train.
Well, yeah, it helped over the previous year, which I was probably maybe about 7 pounds over the weight that I just came out of in this off season. But still, eating that amount of carbohydrates did cause me a lot of inflammation even this past off season, but not quite as much as the previous one, because that weight does have some bearing on it and the overall, you know, equation of everything. But I think it's more the heavy carbohydrate use for me just causes me a lot of inflammation in my joints. And just, you know, I've definitely learned that now, because I've seen when they get pulled out how I feel. And VJ always laughs because he's like, oh, everybody the last, you know, month is their joints are dry. And I'm like, that's when I feel the best. You know, is when my carbs are pretty much non-existent and I have no inflammation anywhere.
Now, after I had done the Ironman, I pulled out all the fats and carbs out of my diet. And I started getting some pretty crappy feeling joints, especially my shoulders, which I've had issues with my right shoulder, you know, nonstop for a long time. This past season, my left shoulder started bothering me, just really pushing, just heavy with my chest work. And it got really pronounced without the fats in. Once I started working with Shelby, within several days, we started adding fats back because I was dropping, you know, real quick. And since we've added the fats back in, my shoulders are feeling pretty good now. Like, my joints are actually, they're feeling pretty decent. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a huge difference.
It's nice to see when there's a change in your diet setup, and then you can, it physically manifests itself to a reality. And it's just, you know, I love to get that, like, it's like that real-time data. Just that's something I really enjoy about this whole sport.
Yeah. You know, something we talked about a great deal in the last episode, we spoke about leg training, and we talked about the mindset that it took to prepare for that workout. And during that time, you know, you were still getting all the nutrition you could possibly want or need. At this point, obviously, we're at the opposite end of that spectrum. You're getting just enough to kind of maintain, you know, your ability to almost, you know, physically do what you need to do while, you know, trying to doing everything you can toward the goals of fat loss, you know, while still maintaining muscle. How much more work does it take psychically to prepare for something like a leg workout now or a back workout now?
Yeah, man, that might be hard to quantify, but I really don't think it's much more mental. Now, that would seem strange because you're going in with low energy and everything, but also I just try to keep the same exact mindset I have no matter what food I'm taking in. So I think the mental preparation is really, honestly, which might sound strange, about the same. And a little sidebar issue to that, I just feel that as I get more depleted and I'm more deep into this and I go to train, let's say, for instance, legs or whatever body part we're training that day, me and Shelby, I just basically, you know, want to perform at a level to where in his mind, he's probably like, oh, what is wrong with this guy? He's thick.
Yeah.
So that kind of gives me a little extra drive too.
Yeah.
Which goes back to the whole community theater aspect of everything that I do right now. So, yeah, I don't think it's really that much more mental preparation, because now I've been through this scenario so many times and I haven't not died yet.
Yeah.
In a workout, I've come out breathing with my heart beating and I know that I'll make it through, so it kind of gives me a little bit of comfort there.
Hmm. You said that the training is a little bit shorter now. So I know that overall Shelby had kind of reduced the duration of his workouts a little bit, because they, you know, some of the workouts were getting pretty long at times. What are we talking now for, say, an average leg day? Not including the upcoming workouts that will be abbreviated for you.
Well, we've been trying to keep everything about 2 hours. Legs is a little extended past that there because there's a lot of warm-ups involved, but we're trying to keep everything about 2 hours no matter what body part it is.
Okay.
That's a rule that we've kind of adapted, and it's worked out pretty good, because sometimes the volume really isn't less. It's just we're moving a little quicker on some stuff.
Yeah.
On some stuff you don't want to move quick on, but on stuff that you can, we do.
Okay.
Just so we try to make that 2 hour mark, but we're not selling ourselves short by any means, though.
Yeah. So tell me, what do you mean there's some stuff that you can move faster on and that's okay?
Well, on non-bigger compound lifts, we're taking, you know, we might knock off 10 or 20 seconds in a rest period. And, you know, at the end of a workout, all that stuff can add up.
Okay.
You know.
That makes sense. Versus you're saying, like, while doing something like a squat, you're obviously going to take a little bit more time.
Or deadlift or whatever, yes.
Yeah. So at this point, I take it there's no type of intra-workout nutrition. You're probably relying on water.
Yeah, actually, we've actually pulled that the first day of the diet. Even if it's 20 weeks, we have nothing, no intra-workout nutrition, at least for me.
Okay.
It goes right to water, old school.
Do you feel a change in that?
You know, the last 2 years I didn't, and we've discussed this to me and Shelby at length because, and he went through the same thing. A couple years ago, I used to take a lot. Some workouts, 100 to 120 grams of highly branched cyclic dextrin, say during a leg workout, and he was doing the same thing. And then the next year we both cut it down. And so then when prep came, it's like, you notice it a little bit. And then this last year, no, I didn't notice anything.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Cause I was, you know, I cut it down so much over the last 3 years.
I think that's another place. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I cut it down so much over the last 2 years, and especially this last off season, that no, I couldn't even tell.
Okay. I think that's another place that people automatically think like, oh, you're going to pull that out, and they get panicked almost, you know?
Oh, well, it happened to me really the first year.
Yeah.
That Shelby dieted me in 2015. I was like, oh man, I was like, and I could tell, I actually could tell because probably a little bit because I built it up and I was taking in so much.
Okay.
So there was a difference, and it's just like the same thing. Like the first time I had to train legs.
Yeah.
On zero carbs, like, you know, you build things up in your mind to make them worse than they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's never as bad as you make it out to be. So that's another thing you can kind of think about, too.
I think that right there is some really good advice, just in general. I mean, not just for carbs,
for
you know.
Everything.
Right? Everything in life, really.
Everything, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. My dad gave me some advice one time, and I don't know whether whether it's great advice or not, but or positive sounding advice, but he said to me, Scott, you know, nothing is ever as good as it feels, but nothing is ever as bad as it feels either.
Hey, there you go. That's pretty wise right there, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I carried that with me. So, you know, tell me, Bill, just overall, I mean, I'm looking at this whole thing, you know, big picture now. You probably don't have a very solid idea of exactly what you're going to do, but where do you see yourself, you know, after this contest? First of all, is this the only contest you're going to do this season? Are you possibly thinking about sticking around for the Western? And after that, where do you see yourself going next?
Well, no, this is definitely the only show I'm going to do. So I'm not going to do the Western. I have a couple clients that are moving on and doing that show, which is great. And,
how about Tommy?
Yeah, Tommy Styles and Shannon Seeley. And then, so that'll be good for them. And
shout out to both of them.
Yeah, for sure. Very hard workers. I love working with both of them. I can't really say enough about those guys. They're good friends and teammates. So they're going to do just fine. They've made a lot of improvements from last year, and that's basically the name of the game. If you improve, then you've already won. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I definitely, this is my only show this season. Then I'm going to shut it down. And I've already kind of started preparing things for when the show comes to an end. I've opened up some more time slots for my personal training business, which actually is growing a lot. I really enjoy nutrition coaching a lot. And, you know, I actually did nutrition coaching years and years ago. My first client was, I'm not sure if you know him, Scott, but, Joe Rubino. He's from Chicago.
You know what? He's like a friend of a friend. I basically feel like I know Joe, but we've never met in person.
Yeah. He just won the welterweight class at the North Americans.
Hell yeah. Congrats to
him. Yeah. And, so that was the first person I ever helped get ready for a show. And that was in 1990 or 91. I can't remember what.
Okay.
Right around that. So, and you know, I was helping people a long time ago. Then, I kind of got out of it. And then a few years ago I got back into it. And, you know, I really love that aspect of it. But one thing that I did not expect to happen is I had some competitors come to me and asked me to train them. And that's a whole different animal than just training regular folks. So
sure.
I'm starting to do that. And I'm kind of, thinking about, man, maybe I could be the next Chris Cormier of Royal Oak Chef. Because it's been a whole different experience. I've done a lot of specific programming for these people, and it's a lot different than training, everyday regular folks, which I do train, but I never thought it was going to morph into this, because now some of the people I prep, I'm actually physically training them and doing their programming and, assessing their physiques and then attacking, what we need to attack. And, it's definitely been surprising and eye-opening. I didn't think that this was going to be something I was going to be incorporating into my coaching, but I think it's really fun to mold someone, not only nutritionally, but to actually do it with, the personal training and physical tools of the iron.
I love that idea, man. I've been thinking about something kind of similar myself, but man, it's cool when life surprises you like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I honestly really never expected that. And I'll be honest, and maybe you can ask Shelby this one day. Yeah, he'll tell you that someone who coaches and does nutritional coaching or does prep stuff, usually, at least on the surface, I don't want to stereotype, but is a little bit more mentally deep than someone who does just personal training. So, in another sense, I wanted to,
Are you an
not
elitist?
Train as many people because I thought it wasn't as cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But, sometimes you just, being yourself is fucking cool. And, doing what you want is cool. And just if someone doesn't like it, oh, fucking well, right?
I love that. I think that's a great motto too. I'm getting all sorts of clips we can pull out of the show and we can make commercials with and stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Tommy, what's he doing right now? Do you think if we called him that he would answer?
Yeah, as long as he's not on a shift, because he's a firefighter, and he'd probably answer.
Let's see. I'm gonna see if I can add him in here.
Definitely had fun with him because I kept a real close eye on him this last off season and just completely changed his physique a lot. So very happy.
Hey Tommy, what's happening, man?
What's up, Scott? How you doing?
Good. I got your coach here with me.
What's up, Bill?
Hey, what's up? Good thing he didn't say, hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is that?
So I thought it would be it'd be fun to bring you on since, guys, this is Tommy Styles. He's also an MPC competitor. He's also doing Central States, and he is under Bill's tutelage. We were just talking about the work that Bill's doing with his clients, and since you're doing the same show as Bill, and the three of us are all competing on the same day, I figured, why the hell not? Let's bring Tommy in. We'll have this big conversation between the three of us that are all probably on low carbs right now.
Yeah, as low as you can get.
So what's going on? What's Bill got happening with the diet right now? How are you doing with it, Tommy? Where are you at with your carbs, your fats, all that fun nerdy stuff?
The carbs are obsolete. You get a little bit of, a little bit from the nut butters, but the fats are moderate and the protein's high. Okay. I think we pulled the carbs for good probably 2 weeks ago, and we just do one refeed every Sunday night. But my body seems to respond well to that. That's how we pulled the last little bit off. We did it last prep last year.
Okay.
And we were carb cycling up until that point and just pretty much let my body tell us when to make the moves.
Hey Bill, how's Tommy doing with the plan right now?
Oh, he's doing great. He's doing great. He's right on track, and at least with him, I don't have to worry about him doing the right thing. He does everything to a T. So very easy to work with, and makes my life a lot easier.
Nice. So how's your training going, Tommy? We saw the video with you not too long ago. A couple of weeks back, we had posted it up at the Advices video section. And, man, you're looking a lot bigger than you were last year. We were talking a lot about strength. What's your strength like now at about a week and a half out from the show?
It's starting to fade, but honestly, I'm still holding about 85 to 90% of my strength from my top numbers in the off season. So I'm pretty pleased with that. I'm pretty much using this week to finish out my last heavy training session for each session. And then, kind of into Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we'll just be pump sessions, get some blood in the muscle, get it in, get out. And Tuesday will be my last training, and it's just rest and following the plan up until Saturday.
Nice. How much cardio do you have him doing, Bill?
I believe no. Tommy just got up to 55 minutes, okay. Which isn't terrible.
No. Are you doing that all in one session, Tommy, or is it split up?
Oh, it's all in one. Fasted in the morning, so I get up, take a couple caffeine tabs. I was using the VasoBurn from MPA up until today. I dropped that, and then I put my hoodie on, get my mind right, and I have a treadmill in my house, so I'm able to do it right at home.
Nice. Now, Bill was mentioning that you work at the fire department. Are there times that you have to stay the night there too then?
Oh, every shift. I work 24-hour shifts.
Okay. Now, what do you do for cardio while you're up there?
I get my cardio done before work. So on a work day, I'm up at 5 a.m. to knock it out, and then I start shift at 8 a.m.
Okay. Do they have equipment up there then, or?
There's a treadmill there, but I do it at home before I go in.
Oh, I see.
And then when I get out of work at 8 a.m. the next day, I won't do my fasted till I get home. So I'll get home from work usually around 8:20, assuming I get out on time. And then, I literally drop my stuff, change, and get right on the treadmill.
Okay. And where are you at weight-wise now?
I'm sitting around 192, 193.
Okay. So you and Bill will be standing on stage together in the same class.
Yeah. It's kind of surreal. I keep thinking about it. So it's a true master versus student type thing. It's going to be a lot of
awesome.
Fun.
That's pretty cool, man. I only wish I could be here to see it. I'll be out west doing my show at the time. I do have a client that'll be in it, though, in Men's Physique, so I'll be keeping tabs on him and hopefully being able to keep tabs on you guys. Anything you want to share with the Advices audience while we got you here, Tommy?
Oh, I want to say good luck to you. I'll be, I have a close eye on the West Coast to hear how you're doing.
Right on. Thanks, man.
I know,
man.
You've been pushing it. You look great.
Thank you.
I know you started working with Shelby to finish this thing out, so I think that was a smart move.
Yeah, thank you.
His reputation precedes him. And I just want to say that, we talked about this kind of on the video I did, but if you're going to go with a coach, you should trust everything that coach tells you. I mean, Bill and I's dialogue is, I send the update, he tells me the changes or says stay the same, and my response is, it's always yes, sir. Or, all right, sounds good. Or we feed off each other in a way that, keeps us both going. So if you're taking on a coach, you should fully 100% trust in that coach and do everything they say and not question it.
I agree.
So that's just kind of my little tidbit, because I see all these people, wanting to question the direction their coach takes them. Well, you enlisted their services, so why would you not do what they tell you?
Yeah.
Now, can you see why I say it's easy to work with him?
I can. Well, that was good stuff, Tommy. Thank you for taking the time, man. I appreciate the surprise call for you. Taking the time to entertain us and hang out. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, Tommy. I'll see your update in the morning.
All right, brother. Take care, Scott. Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye. Yep.
Cool.
Well, that's kind of cool, man.
Yeah.
He sounds like he's got a lot of energy still right now. He sounds like he's pumped for this thing.
Yeah, he's faking it.
Yeah, he is.
I know it doesn't feel good. But, hey, you got to turn it on and off, man. That's all.
Yeah. Listen, there's something we hadn't talked about yet that I really wanted to get to. Sure. That was posing. How's your posing going?
How often
do you practice posing? Because this is something I hadn't talked to you about yet. We haven't talked about posing for a while. I know that you've been working with Kenny Wallach through FaceTime, and I know that you and Tommy had talked about getting together to do some posing. What's your regimen like on a day-to-day basis with posing, and where are you at with it now?
Okay, well, let me first go to the beginning of this process here this year. Man, I'll tell you, the first session I had, we usually start about 6 weeks out. I was a little less than 6 weeks out this year, so now I've gone through two sessions. So session number one with Kenny, man, it was amazing because he had changed two things for me that were so noticeable that, you know, I mean, Shelby was just like, oh my goodness. You know?
Really?
Oh yeah, and that was in the first session. So two of the changes he made is he basically on my frontal bicep, he changed my leg positioning to a certain way, and Shelby's comment was like, it looked like it put an inch on your quads. And you know what? I can't argue with it. It looks so much better. And then another game changer with that same session was he had me do something different on my back lat spread, and I mean, it's night and day. I mean, it's night and day. So that was the first session. So usually, you know, the first session isn't all crazy like that, but it just ended up being like everything clicked, and it was just amazing. So the second session, which I just had last week, was the hardest session because he actually ran me the whole 30 minutes with not many breaks, doing all the quarter turns, all the compulsories over and over. And I was sweating, I was breathing hard.
Yeah.
So it was very tough. So that was more of like almost a workout. Then, you know, we went through some of the changes we made. And now my next posing session is coming up, and I'll be 5 days out.
Okay.
So that's where I'm at with that. And as far as practicing posing, I practice 2 times a day, and I only do it for a short period of time, between 5 and 7 minutes. Kenny likes to have his people do that because he says that, you know, a lot of times if you're going to do these long posing practices, a lot of times you can get tired and develop bad habits. And I've actually seen that a few times. So that's what I've been doing. I've been just sticking to his formula, and it's been working out really well.
Okay. So 5 to 7 minutes. So when you hit a pose, how long do you practice holding that for?
Usually like 10 seconds or so.
Okay.
Yeah. I usually just get into it and make sure I feel comfortable and just hold it, and I'll go to the next one. And then a lot of times while I'm doing the session, I'll take stills too.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely, like, you know, I have people asking me all the time, like, oh, can you help with your posing? And I just tell them right away, here's Kenny's information.
Yeah.
You know, work with the best. I mean, the guy is just, it's such a bargain too. I mean, he could be charging like 5 times more than he does. That's how good he is. So,
yeah. And he's accessible, you know.
Posingbykenny.com.
Yeah. Posingbykenny.
Also, the clothing company he has is called Dead Center Apparel. So check that out too. He's the best.
Yeah, he is really good. He had done a lot for me. The first time that I worked with him, he showed me something on one of my poses that I had never understood for years. And within, you know, 5 minutes of talking about this pose, he had changed my mindset totally.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's still one of my tougher poses to hit, but it definitely helped me build confidence. What do you think your best pose is? What do you feel most comfortable in?
I think, man, it's funny. It's a close one. I'd say probably either it's probably a tie between my front and back double, I'd say.
They're both really good shots on you. So my brain is at a fog right now. I'm doing my best to put the show together here, Bill, but it's falling apart on me. It's just not working anymore.
I got you, man.
I'm not going to lie.
Right there with you.
So how was your training today?
Today was pretty good. It seemed like it actually, the pace was good, and it went by relatively quickly. Even though it was 2 hours, it didn't feel like 2 hours. Going into the session, I was a little bit fatigued and tired, but usually the adrenaline takes over, and I usually get through the workout. And I only have a couple more workouts to go, so I was, you know, thinking of that. And also, as it got a little bit challenging today, I just said, okay, just get through this set.
Yeah.
And then I would be ready for the next set after Shelby would be done. And I'm like, all right, just get through this one.
Mm.
And I just kept doing that. And I kept basically self-talking and saying, all right, just get through each set as it comes. And, you know, I did. And like I said, I didn't die or keel over and made it.
Hmm. You know what that makes me think about is the idea of competition in general, and kind of what it stands for me. Because I think competing is a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And for me, I've said this a number of times before, it's a catalyst outside of myself that's greater than me that helps me to push further than I would be able to otherwise. And I can tell you right now that with how I feel and with where I'm at, I don't think I would be able to put my best foot forward time and time again the way I do while pushing this hard and, you know, feeling the way I do in the gym, you know, and in the rest of my day. It just wouldn't make sense to me to continue doing that. But I know that if I continue doing these things, that I will be my ultimate, you know, best. So for me, it's not about the contest as much as about being the best I can be.
Gotcha. I agree with that. That's definitely sound what you're saying for sure.
It's just something that kind of hit me. I've been thinking about your skateboarding, Bill. I've been thinking about how the work that you had to put into that, and it's something I've actually thought about. I've pondered upon this like a number of times, even like while doing cardio. You know, we talked long time ago on Bodybuilding Nerds. You told us the story about how, you know, you started skating at your parents' shop out back, and it was the busboys and stuff that taught you, right? Yeah. Initially.
Yeah.
And you know, you were what? Wait, were you 9 at the time or 7?
7.
And you quickly became like better than them, and that just tells me, yeah.
Yeah,
it just tells me about, you know, the genetic component first of all, but then also probably the fact that your age was probably like a great time to learn new things. You know, like I couldn't imagine trying to like learn how to skateboard at 40. You know.
Yeah, I think it'd definitely be harder. Yeah, I think it would be harder for sure.
But then I was thinking too about how you know, when I was a kid, because you're a few years older than me. And when I was maybe like 12 or 13, skateboarding was like super, super popular. And I was talking to my mom about it because she recently pulled my old skateboard down out of the garage. And I told her, I was like, Mom, I was never really good at it. And she was surprised because she was like, really? She said, I always thought you were really good at it because you were always really into it, you know, and you wanted to have like the right shoes, you know, like I wanted airwalks and stuff. And that's because it was cool and I loved skateboarding. But man, I was never good at it. But then to think that, you know, at that same time that you were the world champion for skateboarding, it blows my mind to think that. It really does.
Yeah, it definitely took a lot of work. That's for sure. Spent many hours, you know, doing it. So it's like anything else. You got to put the time in, and obviously, like you said, there's a genetic component to it. But as in obviously, like bodybuilding too, there's a genetic component, and then also, you know, you have to work extremely hard. So there's definitely some alignment between the two sports, you know.
Yeah. And you told me too that like you did a ton of physical training, right? Like weight training, resistance training, specifically for skating and to be better at it, huh?
Actually, yeah, you know, I did, and I also did some cardiovascular stuff, more endurance type stuff, like long distance run, stuff like that.
Really?
And when I was doing all that stuff, it was taboo to do anything but skate to get better. So I was definitely looked upon strangely at that point, but I didn't really care. You know, I was just doing my own thing, and I was kind of flowing on my own river and not worrying about anybody else, you know?
Yeah, the way I remember those guys back then, they were all very skinny and not muscular, not defined, really. Yeah, I guess you must have kind of stood out. Did you focus on your nutrition, too, to be your best?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I was big time into that. And did nutrition early on, and that's when I really started getting into it, you know. The whole nutrition thing is when I was skateboarding, and then more so when I had my knee injury and I had more time to do that kind of stuff, where I was doing a lot of physical therapy. You know, Gold's Gym Venice was one of my sponsors, so I was doing a lot of my rehab there. And then I would just pick everybody's brains there. I mean, there were some of the best minds for nutrition there and training.
Hell yeah.
Planet. So I was lucky to not only be there, but be in a position to where, you know, I had access to these people because, you know, I was one of their guys, you know?
Yeah. No, that's so cool, man. How many hours a week would you say you put into skating, you know, at your peak when you were working your hardest?
Well, you know what? It was I skated every day, unless you know, weather permitting, back then, because back then mostly everything was outdoors. But you know, it could be sometimes 6 or 8 hours a day every day.
No kidding. That's on the board itself.
Yeah.
Plus weight training and long distance running and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I used to train. Actually, I had a crazy regimen at one point. I was training in the morning, coming back home, taking a nap and eating, and then I would skate for probably like 5 to 6 hours, sometimes more, and then I would go back and do a second weight workout around 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and then I would do cardio at home, usually on the stationary bike. That's when I wasn't doing the running.
Okay.
So 45, that was every day. So it was like a 3-on-1-off split, training twice a day with weights.
Wow.
Doing cardio every night and then skate every day.
Wow.
So it was a lot, yeah. But you know, when you're young, you have the energy too. So
yeah, I was going to ask if you got burnt out from that eventually, or if because of your age, you could just maintain it.
Yeah, I love doing it, so I didn't really get burned out on it. You know, injuries slowed me down, but up until that point, no, I was so into it, and I loved just that whole regimented lifestyle that I just never got tired of it, man.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, I remember there was times where I would, oh, this is crazy, but I would, you know, train in the morning, come back, skate, then train at around 8 o'clock. I would go sometimes to, like, a punk rock show, get home at 2:30 in the morning, and still do my 45 minutes of cardio on the bike.
Wow.
Yeah, that was, now that I think about it, that's beyond insane.
Yeah, that's but a lot, man.
Yeah,
I can imagine that a lot of people your age, you know, and just all the pros at the time, that skaters that age, they just, I couldn't imagine them having that kind of focus.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit outside the box, just not so much just not having the focus, but just I didn't care.
Yeah,
I did what I felt was, you know, right, and I didn't follow the, you know, the inertia, I guess, of popular sentiment, you know, that was going on, and I just did my own thing. And I think that a lot of times when you do your own thing and you have a passion for something and you go with your gut, you're going to be very far ahead in the long run, because you're basically doing it for all the right reasons. You're not worrying about what people think about you. You know, basically, I can kind of break it down a little bit like this. Everything in the world that happens is neutral. So when you have something come in, so let's say, for instance, I'll give you an example. Someone's saying something bad about you.
Okay.
And let's say you can physically even hear them. Really, what they're saying isn't positive or negative. It's neutral, because when it comes into your brain, at that point, you decide how you're going to make that let you affect you, or how it's going to make you feel.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Really, everything is neutral until you decide, okay, oh, man, this is bad. I'm going to freak out. I'm going to let this affect my mood, and I'm going to let it affect everything about me. Or you say, okay, that's neutral, and then you take it and you turn it and you either discard it or you make it into some kind of positive. Everything is really neutral. There's not really anything that's bad or good. It's how your brain, or how you let your brain perceive it and affect you.
Hmm. Yeah, I can so see that. There's no question about it. We have the choice, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I talk about that a lot, is in regards to mindfulness and dealing with situations. You know, it's the ability, though, to, I think, step back from our emotions and be able to recognize those things. That's what, for me at least, it takes the work. You know, that I don't just react because I feel a certain way. You know, I have to step back from that.
Yeah, and you know, I'll be honest with you, it's not something that, you know, I'm sitting here telling you these things, but this is something that I put into practice over many, many years. It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy for someone who's never done it. I'm not saying it's easy, because it is not easy to hear negative things, and especially if it's coming from people that you really care about or that you love. It's hard to, you know, take that and turn it into a positive or not let it affect you. But, you know, I've been practicing it for a long time. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, it's not easy. I don't want to sit here and say that, you know, everything is so simple, cut and dry. But when you practice something for a long period of time, you know, obviously it becomes easier. If it's not becoming easier, then you're doing something wrong in your practice.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that, man. I think that's good. And you're right. It is practice. It's something I think that the longer I've been able to do that, the more I can step back and say like, oh yeah, okay. So I'm feeling high strung because I'm stuck in traffic. And then I can remind myself, you know, that's the example I always like to use is the getting stuck in traffic, that no matter how you react, it's going to end the same way. You're going to eventually get where you're going, and it's going to happen at the rate at which traffic will allow you to get there. And, you know, whether I get upset or not, it's not going to make a difference, right?
Yeah, and it's funny because every prep that I've done, it's become easier for me to deal with the outside world when I'm feeling very cranky and irritable. And it just seems it's becoming easier because I just, you know, think to myself when something situation is going on, like traffic or whatever, I just breathe and it's like, hey man, this is actually easier because I'm in no hurry. I'm in no hurry. I need to kill time between my next meal anyway. So, you know, just take a deep breath and, you know, I think my sensory perception and just the way I perceive things, all my senses are almost heightened when I'm in this state of depletion, and it helps me get through it. I don't get angry or upset. I just, you know, get through each segment of time and breathe. And I think it carries over for when you're done with your prep. It makes you a more calmer person just when you're not depleted.
Wow.
So definitely been learning things about myself each time I do this for the better.
Yeah, I totally can relate to that. Yeah, I feel more alive when I'm really trying to push to do something that's extreme, you know, versus just sitting back and kind of going through the motions day to day.
Yeah.
Well, this has been awesome, Bill. I'm really glad to have you on. I hope that everybody else has been entertained during our, you know, low carb, low energy podcast.
I hope so too.
If not,
I'd like to be back again if the ratings are good enough. We'll see. We'll have to
see
the Nielsen ratings here coming up.
And you know, we'll both be introducing some carbs in the future, and we'll both have our energy back. But, you know, I mean, part of what I wanted to do here was an experiment, and that was to have us both on during this very real moment in time that, it can't be, this can't be fabricated is really what it comes down to, you know, leading right into a show, the way you feel, the way that you think, all these things are very unique to 10 days out.
Yeah, and you know what, and especially if you've never done this before, it's very, very hard to explain how this whole thing feels.
Yeah.
Unless you've been through it. I don't even know where to start to try to explain that to someone, you know? I really haven't found the right analogy or words to give it justice yet, but I am working on it.
So would you suggest that the guy listening out there right now who's never competed, but he does love bodybuilding, he loves it enough that he listens to this podcast and he's informing himself or herself and is trying to learn to be better and be their best in the gym and create the best physique they can. Do you suggest that these people consider competing?
If that's something that they really feel like they want to do, then they should definitely go for it and don't let anything stand in their way. I definitely believe that, and you know, if they think they want to do it and they start the process and then they decide it's not for them, the world's not going to end if they pull out of it either. So, you know, it's up to them. But yeah, I would say if you feel it, go for it, you know?
Yeah. I think you make a good point too, that there's nothing wrong with deciding that it's not for you.
No, absolutely not. It's just like, you know, anything else, it'd be like if you tried some kind of new food and you didn't really like it, don't be ashamed to spit it out.
Yeah,
you know, or whatever. But it's the same thing. No one's gonna, you know, the world's not gonna end. So
when Shelby took my diet over, the first thing he did was he added green beans post-workout, and I can't stand green beans. Like I didn't want to tell him no, but like green beans are, they're one of the few foods I can't. The only other thing I can think of, and this is rare for a bodybuilder, I can't stand sushi. That I had a bad experience with it as a kid. You twice. What?
I've only had sushi once or twice. I'm not really a big fan.
Really? See, like everybody else I know tells me they love sushi. It's like a bodybuilder's big thing.
I could never have it again and be perfectly content.
Yeah.
I probably won't ever have. I'm not into it, man.
I had like a bad experience with it when I was a kid, and the taste of the seaweed makes me gag. It's just, I can't deal with it. And the taste of green beans, the texture and the flavor of green beans, for whatever reason, they literally, they make my eyes water.
Oh, wow. That's strange.
So I never had that. Yeah. I ate them for 2 days. And then after that, I was like, Shelby, can I use broccoli instead? And he said, sure.
Well, at least you said something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would have toughed it out, I bet.
I don't know. Maybe just to fuck with them, I guess. You know?
Yeah.
Just thinks I'm a sick maniac. So, but yeah, that's, if you don't like something, I mean, you know, at least ask. At least ask your coach if there's a substitution, if it's that bad.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't want to get to a point where you're not getting it down, because then you're altering the plan.
Right, that's true too.
You know,
at the same time, don't be a pussy.
Yeah, that too.
All right, guys, for Advices Radio, I'm Scott McNally with Bill War Room Toco. Bill, where can they find you?
Yeah, warroomnutrition.com, and on the bottom of each page on that website, you just has a link to all the social medias. These little icons, you just click on once for email, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, and also ShelbyStarnes.com, and on his Instagram it is ShelbyStarnes100.
Yes. And you can find him linked to us through our social media, and you can find Bill linked through this the post at Facebook and Instagram for this episode. Our prep will now be immortalized, low carbs and all. This is going down in history, Bill, for better or worse.
Yeah, it's going down, man.
So this will come out just a few days before our shows. And like I said, I'm going to be out west, but I'm going to be rooting for you and for Tommy. I'm really excited to see how both you guys turn out, man. You guys are really good friends to me, and I really appreciate you guys. You guys, you helped to drive me to be the best that I can be. And I've always appreciated you, Bill. I'm glad to have you on the show, and I'm glad to have you as my friend.
Oh, thanks. Me too, Scott. I feel likewise, everything you just said. I feel the same way.
Guys, for Advices Radio, Scott McNally, Bill Toco, we will see you soon.
See you later.
To the TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We've got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
TV news shows, what it's like out there.
It's a scare.
You can go out if you want.
We wouldn't dare.
We've got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews. Don't talk about anything else. We don't want to know. We're dedicated to our favorite shows.
Saturday Night Live.
Monday Night Football. Jefferson. Vegas.
I wouldn't be without my TV for a day!
Or even a minute!
Don't even bother to use my brain anymore!
There's nothing left in it!
We've got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
Hey, wait a minute! My TV doesn't work!
It's broken!
What are we gonna do tonight? This isn't fair!
We're hurting!
We've got nothing left to do. Left with no TV and just a couple of brews.